It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Quentin, my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. Not in studio with us this week, but it's not Mark's fault. It's my fault for messing with the schedule this week. But thank you for being here with us. We also have on the line, not in studio, but on the water. Once again, our buddy, professional fisherman Mike Marfell is on the line with us. Mike, last week we were talking to you. You were getting ready for a tournament. Is that what's happening again right now?
Nope. I'm having fun today, Tony. I'm down here pre-practicing for the following weekend. I have me and the 10 horse have the Anglers in Action team tournament next weekend. So practice in the next 3 days, leave the boat down and drive back down next Thursday night. And
nice.
Fish the tournament on Sunday. Yes,
nice.
Sir.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know. You know, people listen to this show all different times. Some folks listen to the podcast, so it can literally be any time. And then, of course, we are on Saturday mornings at 11 on News Talk STL and Sundays at noon. So depending on when you're listening, Saturday of this weekend is supposed to be a really nice day. So hopefully you get some time to get out there and enjoy the nice weather. Sunday's supposed to be Sunday's not too bad, but I think it's kind of a crapshoot. I think there's going to be some rain in the area and you know, it hits you, and if it doesn't, you might have two nice days this weekend. But last weekend, remind us the tournament that you were preparing for last weekend. Remind us about that, and let us know how things went.
Well, things didn't go as planned. I left one thing out of the equation, and that was it was 75 degrees and the day before Easter. So my area that I was fishing was not too far from PB2, and I was boat 11 out of like 197 or something like that. So I thought, okay, I got this. I can beat everybody there. So I pulled in there. There was three stern lights already in the little tiny cut that I wanted to fish.
Oh, wow.
So the recreation, my point is there's a lot of recreational anglers out now that the weather's starting to break. So you got to keep that in mind. I should have used the 250 horses and the 50 gallons of gas to get the heck away from the state park area, from the Glaze. You know, a lot of guys that don't know the lake well or don't have big boats, they put in there and they stay in the Glaze. So my areas were covered up. That's not an excuse. It's just a fact. I did manage to go to my secondary. I didn't even get into the area that I had been catching them in. Spun around. I put a 4.5 in the boat. My partner put a 5-pounder in the boat, like right away, and turn around and here comes two or three boats idling in there, one with a radio on, other guys throwing out. It was just like, I was around the right fish. In my boat, there was no fish smaller than 4 pounds. We only had three. Anywhere you wanted to go in the Glaze, it was covered up. And the back half of it, like from the 8-mile mark to the end of it, was just chocolate milk because all the rain was coming down. I get down here today and I go to fish that same area that I fished. Not a boat in it, but that dirty water made its way all the way up to that area. So I did manage to catch a nice one out of there today on a spinnerbait. Spinnerbait bite is really starting to come on. Spinnerbait chat. It's about to be whatever the heck you want to throw here in the next week or so. A lot of those fish that were on the channel swings and bluff ends, they're making their way to the back. Like I've been catching fish back where it flattens off in less than 4 foot of water in the pea gravelly stuff. They're not on beds or anything like that, but they're moving back there. If you've got a pocket that's a spawning pocket and the wind's on it and there's bait in it, there's bass in it, no doubt. It's just figuring out how to catch them. Cover a lot of water with a spinnerbait, a wiggle wart, jerk bait still, but that water temperature's creeping up on 60. I had not a topwater in my boat last weekend, Tony, and I swear to you, I think I could have caught them on top. They were busting all over the place where I was at. It's just there were so many boats, I couldn't do nothing with it. Well, long story short, yeah. I finished 66th out of 197. I had a dead fish penalty, which hurt. So I hooked the first one really early and really deep on a jerkbait and bled like a stuck pig.
Oh.
So I cauterized it with the Diet Mountain Dew trick. I think I've told you that before. Diet Sprite, Diet Mountain Dew. I cauterized it, but she didn't make it. I mean, it was a long day to be bouncing around the live well.
So when you got when you got to the weigh-in, is that when you realized it?
No, I knew it was dead before. Yeah,
okay,
it died.
Gotcha.
It died. I opened the live well to check in on him, and he was looking really tired, upside down and stiff as a board.
So explain, you know what, you have told us about it, but I just saw Quentin's reaction to the, I carterized it with Diet Mountain Dew. So, you know, we get new listeners each and every week. Every fisherman has got their, tricks and things like that. Explain what you meant.
I'm not as sure what the science is, but and it doesn't have to be diet. I use diet in case I get it on my carpet, so it's not all sugary. But I keep a bottle of either Sprite, Diet Sprite, or Diet Mountain Dew, and if you pour it slowly over their gills, it will stop the bleeding. I don't know what the science is. You'd have to talk to somebody smarter than me. Just passed down to me over the years from other tournament anglers. But it does. But you know, when you hook them with those super sharp treble hooks on those jerk baits on a mega bass way down in the gills, I mean, that's how it was eating it. Obviously it sucked it all the way in. So, sometimes there's not much you can do. And that 1 pound penalty hurts.
Yeah.
Big time.
If
it would have been my big one, I couldn't have weighed it for big either. If it's dead, you can't weigh it for your big fish. So,
right. Is it a,
we're around the right ones, Tony. We really were. And, it was kind of disappointing. I should have ran away, but man, the boats were out last weekend too, being Easter, the big boats.
Yeah. So I've got multiple questions here because, but one last question about the soda. Does it have to be a white soda like that? Like,
I guess it could. I don't think so. I do think the guy always said use either Diet Sprite or Diet Mountain Dew. The guys that, tournament guys have done
funny.
That for years. There's other things you can do, like a peroxide baking soda mix or something. But, you know, why not have a Diet Mountain Dew in there? That way,
yeah.
If you get thirsty, you can drink it.
Yeah.
So,
how often does that happen? Is that something you have to deal with a lot? Because it's not something we talk about very often. I mean,
no, never. It doesn't. If they get hooked that deep, I mean, it happens. But, you know, one every 100 fish, probably.
Yeah.
Something like that would be my, you know, ballpark. But.
So here's my question. Here's another question.
Happens.
Yeah. So here's another question. You had said that when you started, you tried to get to your spot, your primary spot, and it was there were already boats there.
Three boats there, and they'd probably been there since before the sun came up.
Right. So you were they just recreational guys, or were they in the
tournament?
Oh
yeah, okay. They were recreational guys.
Gotcha.
I think two were crappie fishing, one was bass fishing. It looked like.
So you didn't interfere. You didn't encroach on
nope,
what they were doing,
nope,
and you moved to
nope.
your next spot. But then you said that when you got to your next spot, people encroached on you. So that's this is an interesting scenario because
mm-hmm.
you.
That's what I thought.
I guess you could have done that, right? You could have snuck
yeah.
in there and
yeah.
you know, forced your way in, but you didn't. But that
nope.
is exactly what happened to you. Did same thing with the people that came in on you. Were they tournament? Were they in the tournament with you, or were they, you know, just recreational Lake of the Ozarks?
One guy was, and the other two boats were they were just out having fun, radio blast. I mean, no big deal. The radio doesn't hurt anything, but you know, just talking and fishing along. Kind of, I talked to them. Whatever bites they were fishing for crappie. And when I said I was in a tournament, they went on around me. You know, they didn't like come in tight to me or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
the guy that was fishing the tournament, he, it was first thing. So that's his spot, right? And he's going to that. He didn't come in on me. He went past me and back to a couple brush piles that I was eventually going to make my way back to. But yeah. I picked my starting point, and I picked a good one because we got a 5 and a 4 right out of the gate. Probably if I had that whole cove to my, and I'm telling you, this little cut is, maybe 15 docks in it, so it's tiny. It's not big. So three boats in there is a lot. Or four boats counting
mm-hmm.
me. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a lot of pressure. And then I fished an eye shot of that same spot a few times throughout the day. I tell you, I always make a milk run. Just keep, it's a timing thing.
Right.
And I seen dozens of boats go in and out of that cove throughout the day. because if you're a bass fisherman or a good fisherman, then you understand channel swings and seasonal patterns. It's obvious. I mean, it's, this is, and you're in the glaze, so you're not far from, you know, PB2. So, you know, it's going to get hit. I just didn't factor that in. I'm used to fishing when it's a little earlier than this, when the only guys out are us crazies, you know, that are all bundled up with ice freezing on your guides kind of thing. And right. You don't have to worry about that. I didn't factor in it's going to be 77 and it's the day before Easter. So I probably wouldn't even have started there.
Right. Right. So
though I caught them really good on Thursday. So I say I caught them. I caught two big ones and I shook three or four more off. So they were there for sure. 100%.
Yeah. But that Thursday's before everybody showed up for Easter weekend. Your point. But so here's my other question about that, because I don't know if it was something that I learned from my dad or if it's just something that I picked up over the years, but I was always sort of under the understanding that there's kind of an etiquette list, you know, hierarchy of who, you know, when you have multiple folks in a spot. If you have a boat, if you're in the water, you always give way to somebody on the bank. You stay totally clear of them. Always been the way that I was taught.
That's the human thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't, you know, they're, you're in a boat, you can get anywhere. They're right. Not. So if they've got a spot, just give them their space. And then also if I'm out just having fun recreationally and I see guys that are clearly, you know, obviously in a tournament, you know, they got their, you know, they got the jerseys on and they got their sponsors gone. Again, I would, you know, and if they're going to sit there and they're going to take my spot for 2 hours, then that's a different story. But if they're passing through and they're going to, you know, I would kind of, we would get out of their way.
Give them leeway. Yeah.
That's
pretty common.
Yeah.
But not everybody falls. Not everybody feels that way. A lot of guys have disdain for tournament fishing. I mean, they think, you know, we're running around all fast, crazy and fishing their spots. Maybe they planted the brush pile or whatever. It's like, well,
right.
I got $15,000 to $20,000 worth of electronics that says I can find those brush piles. It's not like
exactly.
And they're no secret. Not anymore. But yeah, that's the common. I mean, I'm always that way. If it's another tournament angler, for example, that same day I ran, when I decided to leave that area, I ran 12, 15 miles to a 100-yard stretch that I wanted to fish. There was a guy coming towards it, but further up the bank, if that makes sense, maybe 300 yards from where I wanted to fish. I shut down, threw my trolling motor down and said, hey, I want to fish just that 100-yard stretch at the end of this bluff. Is that okay? And he said, you in a tournament? I was like, yeah. He goes, me too. And he said, go ahead. If that's your spot, go. You know, just had the conversation.
Yeah.
If his boat was pointing the other direction, I wouldn't have had that conversation. A lot of guys won't do that, but it's a small world, and my reputation of not being an ass.
Don't be a dick. That's our theme here.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah. But there's a lot of them out there, unfortunately.
Right. You're exactly right.
But you can't bitch about it if you don't give everybody the courtesy that you expect.
Right.
So that's the way I look at it.
We're doing things a little differently here this week. As I mentioned, our recording schedule got kind of messed up. My partner, Mark McMurray, is not here with us, and we are going to – so we're going to bring you the fishing report here in just a minute during this segment. We usually do that at the end of the show, and then we are going to bring you the conversation that we had a couple weeks ago about the world record paddlefish that was set down there at the Lake of the Ozarks, and our conversation with Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors about turkey season. So keep it here for all of that and the fishing report in just a moment. But while we have Mike Marfell with us, I want you to share your piece of the report here in a moment, but first, just kind of preview. So you have another tournament coming up in a week or
a week.
So. How much different are we established into the spring pattern, the spring season at this point at the Lake of the Ozarks and across the state or across the area, I should say.
Yeah, we are, but they're still very mobile. They're here one day, gone the next kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are still moving a lot. That's why I'm down here. I'm kind of seeing you know, it's crazy, the water color difference in areas. There's a lot of debris in the water, so they had a lot of rain. So, you know, all those leaves and stuff in every one of these little creeks gets blasted out of the back. So I am, you know, they're going to be moving. I mean, it's not, they're not locked into that spawning area yet, but if there's bait in those spawning areas, like I said, they're there, but there's still fish that are on main lake points, channel swings, bluffing. They don't all spawn at once. So there's going to be waves in both areas. I personally like power fishing up shallow, for these spawn, you know, ones that are getting ready to find a bit. I like skipping docks. I'm staring at right now, Tony. I got my talons down in the back of this cut.
Yeah.
There's a dilapidated dock. Half of it's on the shore. There's a brand new tree that fell right next to it. Still has green leaves on it.
Is that like a treasure chest?
About 3 foot of water. And when I get off the phone with you, we're going to go see what lives over there.
I will let you go in just a minute. I want you to hang with me through the fishing report here. I also want to remind folks that as we get into this spring season, that if you are outdoor grilling, I grill year round. It's always barbecue season for me. But a lot of folks getting back outside and lighting up the barbecue pit. Make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump charcoal with you next time you are grilling. Rockwood Lump charcoal burns hotter, faster, cleaner than traditional briquettes. Just a superior grilling experience across the board. And you can find Rockwood charcoal in over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. Let's get into this.
Tony.
Yes, sir. Go, please.
Before you get into that, I just discovered that my local butcher, so all you guys that listen that live in Fenton, the corner butcher in Fenton, also carries Rockwood Lump charcoal and all Missouri beef. So you can one-stop shop, get the meat and the Rockwood charcoal at the corner butcher in Fenton.
Yeah, a lot of meat
great
markets.
People. They sponsor the high school, the Summit's wrestling and football programs, mostly wrestlers and football players that work at the butcher shop. So if you're needing some Rockwood and you're in charcoal in that area, stop in there, get that, and get you a steak while you're there.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of meat markets, but local butcher shops, farmers markets. Those are a lot of the locations that you can find Rockwood at, and also all Ace Hardware locations. So Mark is not here, so you can bear with me. And as we get through this fishing report this week, we'll start with Truman Lake. Jordan Lear out there, crappie good fish, 6 to 15 feet of water, 2 to 10 feet deep in the mouths of the creeks. 2/3 of the way back in creeks using jigs or minnows. Catfish fair, anchoring in the mouths of the creeks and on the main lake from 15 to 25 feet with fresh cut shad. Bass fair, fishing main lake points and creeks with jerkbaits, wiggle warts, and rock crawlers in the creeks and coves close to the spawning pockets on transition banks working, Alabama rigs working as well. And walleye fair, fish way up the rivers and creeks, casting jigs in main lake and secondary points with jerkbaits. Out to Mark Twain Fishing Intel, Jason Kaiser, crappie are scattered, one here and there. They are anywhere from 5 to 15 feet deep. Water temp is 48 to 53 degrees. Dropped with the recent cold front. Bass wind blown banks halfway back on secondary points. Crankbaits working. Depth is 10 feet of water. And catfish are on trot lines 8 to 10 feet deep. Goldfish and bluegill working good. Carlisle, Eric Morey. Carlisle's on the rise. And
fishing magician.
Yeah, that's right, the fishing magician. Carlisle's on the rise with dirty with debris floating, and the bite is very tough with the current conditions, with the lake level coming up 2 feet in a couple of days to the current level of 445.25 local lakes and rivers with Eric Morey, the fishing magician. Local lakes are fishing well, and the largemouth are pushing shallow and feeding heavy and biting well. Crappie are transitioning and beginning to push up into some of the areas before they make their final move to the shallows to spawn. Catfish are really getting active and following the bait closely and are being caught as well. And Southern Illinois lakes with Gabe Montgomery, the 10-horse Monty. Water temps have reached the low 60s in Southern Illinois, and a wave of fish have pushed shallow. The water in most lakes will have some stain in the backs of creeks and coves that have a runoff source. Early Wednesday morning, the line of storms moved through the area and dropped a decent amount of rain. The recent cold front may have slowed things down a bit, but things will be up and running soon. If you can't get a bite and a moving bait in the in post-frontal conditions, slow down with a Texas-rigged creature bait or shaky head. Fish the same areas where you caught them on moving bait. The fish are most likely still around but are unwilling to chase. And then he says, tight lines. Yeah, sound about right to you. And anything to add specifically about the Lake of the Ozarks?
Well, before we get into the Lake of the Ozarks, I will add that my buddy Dave Holm and his boy have been catching them and seeing them on beds in Kincaid and in Egypt and those strip pits, Southern Illinois strip pits. And his son has been smashing them on a, like an 8-inch glide bait.
Nice.
So this lake right now is very much like what your Truman report was. If you got wind, you want to throw a spinnerbait, chatterbait, Alabama rig, or a jerkbait. Me, the determining factor with that, if I'm around wood, I'm throwing a spinnerbait because I hate losing $25 jerkbaits. If I'm around rock, I'm throwing a jerkbait. The water temperature's anywhere from 57 to 60 degrees, depending on where you're at on the lake. Alabama rig's still working good, but it's waning, and that jig, crankbait, chatterbait is really going to be coming on stronger and stronger, you know, as we move further and closer to the spawn. They're back there looking for those areas. Like I said, you can still find them on the main lake, channel swings, but if I had to put a number on it, I'd say 60% of the fish are starting to move shallow and towards the banks. So the fishing's about to be just dynamite. If you like bass fishing, get to Lake of the Ozarks. Go to the back of one of these creeks where it flattens off and throw your favorite bait. Cover water. Cover water. They're biting. And when they eat it, they are eating it. It is the one I caught today, Tony, it just mangled my spinnerbait. It had the, and I had a 4.5-inch swim bait on the back of that thing. He had the whole, only thing was sticking out was a little bit of the blade. He had it deep. So
Sounded like he needed some diet Mountain Dew after that.
Don't have all those treble hooks with those mega bass, dude. He was okay.
That's awesome.
He's actually going for a ride. Everybody's going for a ride today. They get released at my buddy's dock. So.
Nice. Great stuff. Mike Marfell, thank you as always for joining us this week. And like I said, we're going to bring you a conversation that we had a couple weeks ago with our buddy Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. We're also going to review that world record paddlefish caught at the Lake of the Ozarks just a couple of weeks ago. We'll bring all of that to you next as we roll through the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Loves to fish. I love to see her line there on the bank beneath the full moonlight.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL.
I found a girl who loves to fish. This ain't no lie.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
So we were just talking off the air. There's a lot of cool stuff to talk about today. The Lake of the Ozarks is in the news, in the major headline news.
In a good way, yep.
There's a world record set, fishing record set at the Lake of the Ozarks this week. So that's cool. You just showed me a picture. I was not aware of that. We have a our first giant of the season, catfish caught at the in the river.
Yep, trying to find out where he caught it. So.
Yeah, so some really cool stuff. It just all signs point to. I mean, I said this earlier this week on Columbo and Katie. It's late March. It's almost April. We are flying through this year, and we are. Spring is here. Yep. I mean, officially, it's here.
It's here,
you know?
But
I mean, like, this is it. This is the green light. We're seeing these fishing stories in the headlines, and we've had some pretty decent weather here off and on recently. And it kind of really gets you excited that this is time to be getting outside.
Yep. And you know, weather's getting better. Temps are getting better. You know, it is that time. Mushrooms are starting to pop. So.
Mm-hmm. So we are going to be joined today by Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors. He's going to join us here in just a few minutes. Tim is one of our hunting experts here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show, and I know he is preparing for turkey season. I talked to him off the air a little bit ago, and he's trying to redeem his validation as a hunter after a tough deer season. With hopefully a good turkey season.
Yeah. So
he's hanging a lot of
trying to get his hunter card back.
Yeah. He's hanging a lot of his self-respect on this coming turkey season. So looking forward to talking to Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors in a few minutes. But yeah, we're just chatting right before the show, just chatting with it with Quentin here about this paddlefish at the Lake of the Ozarks. I have a buddy who goes on an annual trip, and this guy is not he's not a big fisherman. He likes to fish, but he's not somebody who, you know, goes out of his way to get out, you know, on the water as much as possible like I am. So he doesn't fish, you know, consistently throughout the year, but he, every year, him and a group of friends and coworkers go on a big paddlefish trip right around this time.
Oh yeah.
So I guess there's a season.
There's a season on it. Yep.
And it's only it's short, I think. So
it runs about, the one in Missouri might be just, I know the one in Illinois it's 2 months.
Yeah.
March 15th
right.
to May 15th.
It's definitely no longer than that.
Yeah, it's no
Missouri,
longer than that.
It might be in shorter. So I know it's a short window of time for the paddle fishing season, and he loves it. And he's always sending me these pictures of these big paddlefish that he's catching at the Lake of the Ozarks. And this week, an angler caught the world record paddlefish at the Lake of the Ozarks, a 164-pound paddlefish. That's a whole human cube.
That's a whole, yep. I mean, they're a big fish.
Yeah, yeah. And we were just chatting about how I've never done this. Have you ever actually paddle fished? I've seen people do it. I've had talked to my buddies about it.
There are a couple of different ways they do it. You know, right. They do it from the bank here in our area differently than what they're doing it down there. Down there, they're doing it out of a boat. They're basically trolling.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's not, I mean, you know, usually when we're talking about fishing, we're talking about putting a, you know, bait on a hook or a lure and trying to get a fish to bite that lure. It's not that way with these paddlefish. No,
they're snagging them.
They snag them. They have to try to figure out where they are and literally drag those big treble hooks on the bottom of the lake and try to.
A lot of times, it's not so much on the bottom, but it'd be somewhere in the water column.
Yeah, right, right. So yeah, it's super different way to fish. Q, you're learning a lot about fishing on show.
Oh yeah.
What would you do with a 164-pound?
What would it do with me is the better question. I wouldn't be doing anything.
You gotta go
how do you get
out
it
water
over?
Q, get it in the boat.
Oh, yeah. See, how do you get it over the boat? I don't get it.
How do you get it over the boat?
I got a feeling it's got to take a couple of people. Because they do that bill. They probably get hold of that bill and just get a few, and they just lift them in.
Yeah.
Probably try to get it by the tail, too.
Yeah. And you said something right before the show that I hadn't even thought about, but it's so true. This is a world record paddlefish here at the Lake of the Ozarks this week, and we've talked so much over the last few weeks, especially with guys like Mike Marfell and Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty, you know, who have been competing in bass tournaments recently, and a lot of the catfish guys that you talk to, that forward-facing sonar has become such a big thing, especially once you get to that elite level,
yep.
You almost have to have it. If you want to compete.
If you want to compete, that's it.
Like, that was Mike Marfell, that was his big message a couple weeks ago, is that he's had a couple tournaments this year, and they haven't gone his way. And he said, it just proved to me that I've got to embrace this forward-facing sonar. If I'm going to stay on this level, I've got to invest
in this. Got to get there to compete.
It's making that much of a difference. But with catfish and bass and crappie and all the fish that we usually talk about, you still, as the fisherman, it's still your responsibility and your skill and all of that to get that fish to bite
your hook. You still got to bite it.
You can find them a lot easier.
Yeah, you save time, not fishing dead water.
But you still got to make that fish bite. with the forward-facing sonar, with the paddlefish situation, and there's got to be, I mean, the Lake of the Ozarks is full of giants. I mean, there are things lurking in that lake. Yep. You hear about the dam. You hear about the welders.
You hear about the big catfish.
About the catfish that feed, you know, they basically live their whole life just right there at the base of the dam because all the food is just rushing and they're, you know, these giant man-sized catfish down there. Like, if this forward-facing sonar can find these big fish in these big bodies of water like the Lake of the Ozarks, and you don't, like, once you find them, I mean, am I oversimplifying?
No,
once
I mean, you still have paddle to get fish, to
the, you gotta, it's a lot
easier. But you know what depth they're at.
Yeah.
You know, you can, yeah, off the, you can tell what size they are, basically. And, yeah, I mean, there is concern about that. That's really going to impact that fishery down there on the paddlefish.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, in the past, you didn't know where those big fish were. You know, you might get the idea based on the conditions and the water temps and everything, have a good idea where they're going to be, but now you can actually see a fish.
Yeah.
And try to go get it.
Yeah, like you said, you can see the depth, and you can see, like, exactly where they are. You know, how they're, you know, you can tell they're 10 feet down, they're 20 feet in front of me and 10 feet down. Yep. And, you know, like, literally can pinpoint exactly where they're at. And that, for that type of fishing, that snagging, that's the battle, is to find them. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we don't suddenly see I'm not saying like a new world record, you know, every week or anything like that, but I bet we start to see these type of big fish, especially in paddlefish season.
Yeah, paddlefish
become a regular thing. I mean,
some of the, you know, the fish limits I've seen come out of Lake of the Ozarks are phenomenal. I mean, you'll see five fish over 80 pounds and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just go, you know,
I'm telling you,
can it produce? How long can it keep producing if they can now start picking off fish like that? You know, it makes me wonder.
Yeah, I agree, and I have that concern big time. The one thing that is amazing about that lake, just the Lake of the Ozarks specifically, is the fact that always blows people's mind is that the Lake of the Ozark has more coastline than the state of California.
Yeah, it's mind-numbing.
I mean, that to give you an idea of how big the Lake of the Ozarks is, there's more coastline around the Lake of the Ozarks than there is the entire state of California.
Wow.
Yeah, so That gives you an idea how big it is, and as commercialized as it is, and my family has a condo down there, so I've watched the evolution from being the little, you know, the little go kart, mini golf play, you know, Ozark Opry, place to now just a full blown commercialized area, but even with all that commercialization down there, there is still so much of that lake that is just completely untouched. There's just miles and miles of coastline that is just still completely untouched. So that keeps me optimistic about, because I get worried about that too. You know, you go out there. I mean, you can't even, you know, I have a little 19-foot Ranger. I can't even take my boat out. Certainly can't have a nice boat ride with my family on a Saturday afternoon or a Friday night or a Sunday afternoon.
Too much boat traffic.
Oh, the wake created by all the boat traffic. It's just, you know, you're just getting knocked around like crazy. But even me, like, just going out go out to fish, even being prepared for that and knowing this is going to happen, it's so disruptive that you can't even if you're prepared for it, you still can't do what you need to do to fish. But so that is a concern, a big concern, but just the vastness of that lake is unbelievable. And that's why I said that, like, if they found they got this 164 pounder, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at anything that's in that lake, because we've heard different stories. They did a River Monsters. Did you ever see that show River Monsters with Jeremy Wade? It was on Animal Planet.
On Lake of the Ozarks?
Yeah, they did an episode at Lake of the Ozarks about the catfish down there at the base of the dam. I mean, there's some stories about some of the giants that are in that lake. So if they can start spotting them with this technology, we could see some pretty amazing pictures over the next few years.
It could happen. And like I said, in the paddlefish too, I don't know if they stop growing. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. I don't know. That's a great question. Do they? Yeah. 'Cause there'd be nothing to stop them. If they do keep growing,
yeah, I mean,
there's nothing
fish
down
just,
there to stop them.
Just keep growing.
Right.
You know, they
right.
just they don't max out.
Yeah.
Other fish hit a certain size, and that's as big as they get.
Right, right. You know, yeah.
I don't know about paddlefish.
I don't know about paddlefish.
All I know is they're delicious yeah. when it comes to eating them. So,
does that type of fishing, like I said, I have my buddy who does this trip every year, and he talks about it. It doesn't sound that fun to me. I don't know if that is. I'm not taking a shot at all the paddlefish. We just lost the entire paddlefish community on the Bluff City Outdoors.
I think they're now.
Tony
I mean,
Colombo's remarks do not reflect those of Bluff City Outdoors.
Because, I mean, when you foul hook a fish, it's going to fight much harder than one caught by the mouth.
Yeah.
So it's a tremendous fight. And they are so good to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why people go get them, because yeah. they're delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like to go.
No bones.
I like
they have
the
zero
cast.
Bones in them.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah,
and,
that's crazy.
You know, it's a mild fish flavor. It's got the kind of more, to me, it's got a texture more
I know Q wants you to explain why there's no bones in the fish.
They have cartilage. They're like a shark. So they have a cartilage-like spine going down their back, but they have no other bones in them.
That's, yeah.
And then you would think when you look at them that the whole nose is a bone, like that whole
it's
paddle,
cartilage.
But it's not, right, yeah. It's pretty crazy. But I just, yeah, like, I don't know. I like the finding, the casting and the lures and the, you know, that part of fishing.
You know, haven't eaten one yet, have you?
No, I'll eat it all day.
Now I want to go catch me some spoonbill because yeah. I want to eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that is true.
I mean, being a filter feeder, they have a good diet, so they don't eat a lot of crap. You know, they're just filtering the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing that something could get that big doing that.
I know. Well, that's like those catfish at the dam who just, they live their whole life just sitting there letting the food come to them. And they just, do catfish have a limit that they'll, or do they just keep going?
I mean, because the record keeps getting set. So.
Right, right. Yeah, so, that's, I mean. Boy, I'd like to see the sonar pictures of what that looks like down there. It'd be amazing. I want to talk about, speaking of big fish, we have our first report of a giant catfish caught in the river area, Mississippi, Missouri River area. I've seen the pictures. We don't know the exact number, but it looks like it's 100 pounds.
I was going to say it looks like a triple digit.
In that neighborhood, certainly.
Yep. He had the one that was caught in the Twisted Cats there at the first weekend of the month.
Oh, yeah,
that was also
right.
102.
That was over 100, yeah. Yep.
So.
Absolutely. So
it's on.
Yeah, it is on. I want to tell that story, and we're getting now, again, I can't believe how fast it's going, but next weekend's the spring sale.
Next weekend, spring sale, yeah, starts Thursday.
Yeah, Bluff City Outdoors. So we want to get into that. We'll tell you more about that, and we're going to talk to our buddy Tim Shelsvik. We're going to switch gears for a minute from fishing to hunting. We're going to talk about turkey season with Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors next on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Never got to give her that diamond ring. I skipped that rock and watched.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Worked all week, got it all done. Let's make a Tennessee River run.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. As I mentioned, joining us on the line now is our old friend Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. Buddy, it's been a little while since we had a chance to catch up. How are you?
Time is flying, man. I'm doing great. Looking forward to turkey season. How are
yeah.
you?
Well, that I was actually just going to ask you about that because when we talk to Tim, we're usually talking about hunting and, you know, obviously deer season in the fall. That's when it's, you know, really red hot with all that. But there's some exciting stuff happening in the spring, of course, turkey season. So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of check in with where we're at on the hunting schedule and how things are going in that community right now.
Well, the big buzz right now is that the Missouri Department of Conservation has opened up all-day turkey hunting in the spring for private lands. So instead of, you know, it used to be you had to end your hunt by 1 p.m., you can now actually hunt the evenings too, up until sunset. So there's a factor of being able to catch birds going back to the roost, which Missouri hunters have not really been able to take advantage of for spring turkey seasons in the past. So it's going to be a new dynamic. And we actually had Jason Sumner's Nick Oakley from the Department of Conservation on our podcast, the 100% Wild podcast. That episode launches today. And we're talking about that. And people are concerned about turkey numbers. And here the department is making a liberal change to the turkey hunting regulations. And then kind of what they said was the reality is that most hunters don't take more than one gobbler during the spring turkey season. And this really just makes a more flexible schedule for people. Like, you could hunt after work now, mm-hmm. or you might be able to take your kids out after school and not, you know, they don't have to miss games on the weekend if you're focusing all your hunting on the weekend. So really they think it's going to be, it's not going to result in a decimation of the population, but it's just going to make things a little more flexible for hunters themselves. But they're going to watch the data and see how it turns out.
How is the population? Because as you know, one of the things we've talked a lot about on this show and we've talked with you about, it seems like when it comes to specifically deer, but other wildlife as well, but specifically deer, there's just more and more encroachment. And it's not even like new, like in my experience, it's not even like new construction. It's like in a spot where you may have seen, a deer or two in the past. Now you're seeing a dozen on a regular basis in that same spot. It seems like, you know, we've talked about how the deer population is growing and it's also sort of, you know, it mixing in
with
the, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it, what's it, what are turkey numbers like? Is there any, I actually have seen more turkeys in the last couple of years than I think I've seen in the past. So it feels like their numbers are rising as well. Is that true? And is that play into this, this decision?
We've had two good years of turkey production. We've had pretty mild springs, whereas back in like 2017, a few years around that, we had really wet springs with a lot of flooding, which is and cold, which is really hard on any kind of ground nesting bird, including turkeys, and they suffered. But we've had a couple springs of good production, and so turkey numbers are actually looking pretty good across the state. And it's, you know, it can be spotty in different areas, but and people are taking a little more interest in controlling predators. Raccoons and possums and coyotes and skunks and all the things that tend to prey on eggs or even poults while they're still very vulnerable. So there's been a little more attention paid to that, but really it's the weather that according to the Department of Conservation's research has been the primary driver behind better years of production. So this year should actually be a pretty good year for turkey production. And this spring has been good so far. I guess we're only technically in spring, but it's been a pretty mild past few months. So I think we're going to have a pretty good production year this year also, which just has kind of echoing effects as we go into future hunting season.
Yeah, this weather has this kind of mild, wonky weather, I know, had impacted deer hunting season probably a little bit negatively this year. It was a little tougher for guys out in the woods this season, this past season, than in the past. Is there a lot of crossover between the deer hunting and the turkey hunters? Is this going to be like a second chance to sort of salvage the year going into turkey season, or is this two very different communities by and large?
So there's definitely a lot of overlap. Most people that turkey hunt also deer hunt, and a lot of deer hunters also turkey hunt. At least in my mind, they are two very different seasons and very different types of hunting. And like, of course, everyone wants to be successful. But I'll speak for myself. I did not kill a mature buck this year, so killing a turkey would be nice. But it's not gonna ease the pain of failure in 2023.
It's gotta help a little bit.
It don't hurt.
It's gotta help a little bit.
It doesn't hurt for sure, and it kind of gives you a little bit of momentum going into the summer. You know, prepping for deer season, and then into deer season 2024, which is creeping up.
Yeah, yeah. Talking to Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors. Almost out of time here, Tim. But I wanted to quickly get your thoughts. Mark and I were just talking about it. I'm sure you saw the record fish, the 164-pound paddlefish caught at the Lake of the Ozarks this week, setting a record and actually making some national headlines. Pretty cool to see Missouri outdoorsmen in the news for a positive reason. And it's always cool to see, you know, that you could just tell from the pictures that these guys are loving their 15 minutes of fame, and they deserve it. Pretty cool stuff.
Well, from what I've read on that experience, it was a first time angler too, which is not a bad first trip.
No, I don't know what you do from there. I don't know that you can ever go back out. Right? You never go back out. I've got friends. I've got a buddy who's an iron worker that has been going, that goes religiously right around this time of year, every year, on a trip with friends, a paddle fishing trip, you know, and he always sends me these pictures of these, you know, human sized fish that they snag. I've never experienced it, but, Pretty cool to see that happening in the state of Missouri.
They're crazy. Yeah, it's definitely a testament to the amount of effort that our state and our citizens and our department put into conservation, the high value that we place on it.
You mentioned your podcast. Of course, we always tell people, don't forget to make sure you're subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors podcast. You can find us on just about every podcast platform. And Tim's podcast is the 100% Wild podcast. Tell folks how they can follow you and that podcast and the various websites, and all you're all over the place. So let them know how to find you.
Yeah, any place you get podcasts, just search Drury Outdoors 100% Wild. You'll find us there. You can also watch the show on YouTube and Deercast for free.
There you go. Great stuff. Really appreciate your time as always, my friend. And we'll catch up with you. We'll catch up with you soon. And hopefully you'll have a successful story about turkey season that will ease the pain from the
I'm taking the kids up to Northern Missouri for youth season here, and hopefully I'll have some great success to share with you guys from that.
Awesome. Great stuff. Thanks as always for your time. Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors with us. We will be back with more Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. We'll
drop these anchors. This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.